The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now, on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. We're in studio today bringing you another episode, if you will, and something that's very important and very appropriate. However, you've had problems, you've tried, you've applied, you've done all the things that you know what to do and come up with nothing. Well, here's an opportunity to turn things around. We're always available for you. When we're not in studio, you can get a hold of us at rozellecare.com. That's R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E.com. Rozellecare.com. My guest in studio today to talk about this very limping issue, if you will, is none other than the professor. You all know him, Dr. Harlan Browning. And we're going to be talking about hip and pelvis pain and degeneration that occurs in the hip, driving you to, in too many situations, replacement parts that, in our opinion, may be avoided if you do the right things at the right time early on. Dr. Harlan, welcome again.
Oh, it's always good to be here, Tom.
You know, this Wednesday evening, you're going to be doing a program on this topic coming up November the 7th. You know, we're on Saturday today instead of Sunday because the Redskins are playing tomorrow. And we've got a couple more weekends that are going to be like that and that we're flipping over. But this Wednesday evening, you're going to be doing a whole presentation on pelvic and hip problems, pain and degeneration. Let's start out with how prevalent. You know, we see it in a lot of different older people. We see it in sports figures. We see it across the board. But truly, how prevalent are problems with pelvis and hip painful presentations, degeneration, and so forth?
Well, I mean, we see this every day in practice, and I like to do this lecture in the fall time because we're more active outside. We're raking, we're bending, and these are the mechanisms that typically either cause the initial injury or certainly for a lot of folks exacerbate the problem that's been there for a long period of time. So it's very prevalent, and a lot of people assume that because their friends and their family get low back pain, it's normal, so they very often don't investigate the issue and they don't treat it, and it gets progressively worse, and then you get the sequelae of the degeneration and the arthritic changes, which means we're developing more of a permanency to the problem.
So we have people that are basically structurally not balanced properly, and they get out and they try to be weekend warriors, and the spring and the fall are two of those times that they get it done. And as you said, we're going to go out now, we're going to rake up our lawns, and we're going to get ready for the winter. And unfortunately, as the predictions are for this winter, we may have a whole lot of snow in the Washington metropolitan area. Some forecasters are predicting accumulation over the entire winter somewhere around 30 inches, and that's not okay. That I thought I got away from that in western New York State. But seriously, you know, let's talk about the mechanisms of what takes place. I mean, pelvic pain and hip pain is extremely debilitating. It's one of those things that if you mechanically can't move, if you can't bend over, if you can't rotate, if you can't walk up a set of stairs without pain and having to stop, there's a problem there. So mechanically, is this something that just comes on because of old age, or is it something that progresses virtually for anybody?
Well, I mean, there certainly is an age-associated part of it, but really there's three mechanisms. Either there's an injury that maybe got us to this place, or there's multiple injuries over time. There's bad posture, which are micro injuries. Maybe we don't sit at a proper desk. We lie on the couch. We sleep on our stomach. And then there's overuse injuries. We do something over and over again. Maybe the way that we bend is inappropriate. We don't use our legs. So all of those traumatize the connective tissue, the bones, the cartilage, and initiate inflammation. And that inflammation causes those tissues to break down over time. And when they regenerate, they often regenerate with poor quality tissue, and we develop arthritis.
So, you know, when everybody hears the word arthritis, they think, oh my God, I'm destined to be an invalid the rest of my life. I'm not going to be able to do the things I normally want to do. But the term arthritis, arthro means joints, itis is inflammation, and you can have acute or chronic situation. You can have something that perpetuates itself over a long period of time. But let's talk about the mechanisms relative to the chemistry and structural portions. Inflammatory reactions are normal when somebody gets hurt, but they should be self-limiting if there's a restorative process, a repair that is taking place. What we see is the continuation, the perpetuation of that inflammation, and inflammation basically is acid, and it breaks down joints or any other tissue.
Correct. Right? And that unfortunately propagates the issue. So the person's biochemistry is maybe not at the level where it will promote healing. Maybe it'll drag out the process, and very often people are going to re-injure it because of that. And then that just drags the process out even further. So now we have a chronic inflammatory state, and usually it spreads from that one location. And now, instead of us just having pain on one side of our back or our hip, now it's on both sides, and now it's referring to the legs and so on and so forth.
Let's break this down into two pieces, you know, so our listeners can really understand it. Let's break it down in the chemical components relative to, and in basics, obviously, and let's break it down into the structural balance alignment of the body from feet up. I mean, this is one of those things that, you know, the old song, you know, the foot is connected to the ankle is connected to the knee bone is connected to the hip, and so forth. What came first, the chicken or the egg?
You know, that's a hard one to say. I would say my experience is typically there's some sort of structural insult first. Usually it gets better. But by me saying that, I mean the pain goes away. That doesn't mean that the underlying situation has been improved. So as time goes by, that joint that maybe was traumatized when we're 16 or 20 or what have you becomes either fixated, doesn't move properly, or it becomes too lax, it moves too much, which causes that joint to adapt over time, and it causes the structures that surround it to adapt. So we get this push and pull between one part of the body is too mobile, one part is too restricted, and as we go back and forth, it kind of pulls in the rest of the structures that are around it, and very often that chronic inflammation is the end product.
So let's break it down in segments. Let's talk about the structural piece. And in my headspace, because all the years that I've been involved in, and as you have in sports, and you know, both personally and treating very high level athletes, you see these structural blows, you see imbalances, you see things that have happened that people, you know, whether they're athletic or they're otherwise, they put up with, they deal with, because they assume that is the progression of life, and that's the way things have to be. What do you expect for your age, so to speak? But it's not true. So how do we handle that? How do we, you know, how do you correct? Somebody has hip pain. What are you going to deal with? You're going to deal with, you know, giving them something to alleviate the pain, or you're going to do something, you know, to correct the cause? And I guess the underlying question here is, what's the cause?
You know, I think it's really similar to when you're probably in fourth or fifth grade and a teacher, you turn in that project and the teacher circles all those spelling errors and the grammatical errors with red, and they give the paper back to you and say, okay, well, let's correct it. So the way to address it is to do an examination that explains to the person what normal is and where they are, meaning if they lack range of motion, you explain to them the impact of that. If they don't have good muscle integrity, if the way they walk is not conducive to healthy joints, if the way they stand is not good, if you explain it to them, then they get it, meaning that they understand that if we move far away from what's considered norm, then the outcome usually is not as good as if we stay in that zone that's considered to be healthy for us.
This Wednesday evening, November the 7th, Dr. Harlan Browning will be your host, your presenter at the Rozell Center for Healing in Fairfax. We're right on Route 50, just off the National Capital Beltway. Those of you who've been to the practice know that these in-house continuing education programs are superlative. They're one of the most applicable pieces of information, experience that you can get. Please join us. And all you need to do is go online, go to rozellecare.com. That's rozellecare.com. Or simply call 703-698-7117 and tell our staff at the Fairfax office that you would like to attend. Remember that we have limited space, and many of you have been there and we've had full houses, although we can accommodate many people. But once we're done, and we would hate to tell you that unfortunately we don't have any room. And if you've heard Dr. Browning before, you've heard the professor, you know that the amount of information that you're going to get and the take home, the things that you're going to be able to do to help yourself will be quite significant. So make sure you give us a call or right after the program or right now, go online, go to rosellcare.com, scroll down a little bit, you're going to see about halfway down, you're going to see a note about the program. You click it, and you can register right online, and then we will call to confirm that. Dr. Browning, let's talk a little bit more about, you know, this very painful, debilitating situation. I mean, when it gets to a place, and let me ask you this. It's a synthesis. Just because there's hip pain and immobility and dysfunction, can't walk up the stairs or have to go up one step at a time, does that necessarily mean that the person has a degenerative disease of that hip and that they're looking towards surgery?
Absolutely not. And in many cases, the problem that we perceive to be in the hip is not even coming from the hip. I see this classically with hip problems and shoulder problems. A person will have one or the other, and they'll go to their orthopedist. The orthopedist will do tests, and the shoulder looks relatively okay to them. So they'll say, well, it must be coming from your spine. So they'll send them to the spine doctor, and the spine doctor will do what he does and say, well, it looks relatively fine. Go back to your orthopedist. It's got to be the hip. So you get this back and forth between the spine and the extremity all the time. So you can't dissociate those two. They have to be addressed at the same time, especially when a person is, their x-rays or their MRIs look relatively good, meaning that there's nothing to operate on, but yet the person still has a tremendous amount of pain. So very often you treat both.
What do you do with the patient? And this goes into the form of some analysis and examination. They come in and they tell you that, you know, my hip is so sore in certain positions. Other positions, they don't bother me at all. If I can stand straight, I can walk, I don't feel anything. But going from a sitting to a standing position, I have significant restriction and pain within, you know, the joint space. They've lost their center core. They have to throw their legs over the side of the bed or the sofa to get themselves out. Is that a degenerative joint, or is that something else?
No, that's called antalgia, which that means the person is changing the way that they sit or they act to accommodate for the pain, which doesn't have a direct correlation with degeneration. In fact, it doesn't really have a direct correlation with anything except the person is in pain. So as you know, well, we often see people who are bone on bone, and their complaint is they might be just a little stiff. Where you'll have a person who comes in and they can barely move, and their joints are relatively healthy. They just have a tremendous amount of inflammation there. So you want to separate the pain component from the degenerative component and make sure that you're not just blaming it all on arthritis, because in many cases the pain isn't coming really from the arthritis. It's just the inflammatory aspects that surround it, maybe in the muscles or the other soft tissue.
You know, what really gets my attention, and I say that very gently, even in private company I'd say it a little bit more forcefully, is the patient that goes to the well-meaning allopath, the orthopedist, the surgeon, and says, well, you're looking at a hip replacement. You know, we're seeing some narrowing in the joint, and it's just a matter of time. It's going to take place. Not true.
Not true. I mean, especially if you do something about it. Yeah, it might be true if that person just stays the course. Yeah, that hip probably will continue to degenerate. Just like if you continue to eat poorly, you put on weight. But if you identify changeable factors and you implement them, then people change, and they change for the better.
It's, you know, in all the years that I've been in practice, and I see these pain patterns show up in our office, and sometimes with very straightforward, very specific, minor applications, getting patients to be proactive in what they do, you begin to see changes that otherwise couldn't be accommodated. And I know this Wednesday evening, the 7th of November, you're going to get into a lot of that. You know, if you're suffering from any kind of hip pain or pelvic pain or low back pain, this is an opportunity for you to really find out what to do about it and to become proactive in your own health care, not have somebody do it to yourself and inject you with steroids. We're coming up to a break, and we're going to take a couple minutes for those people who bring you Dr. Tom Rozell Live. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. We have a very interesting program for you today, one that is brought to you by none other than the professor, Dr. Harlan Browning. We're talking about pain that sometimes doesn't go away that leads you to a place of having to do surgical intervention, hip replacement, becoming a bionic person. And what we're trying to get across to you is that this is highly preventable and something that you can be proactive and do something about before you get to that place. Pain is a warning. And when you ignore the warning, you end up in a much deeper place when there's things that can get done. And you don't placate the pain. You don't inject it. You don't cover it up. You become proactive. This Wednesday evening, coming up the 7th of November already, Dr. Harlan Browning will present an evening, a presentation on pelvic and hip pain and degeneration. You know, wouldn't it be nice to stop the injections, the steroids, the drugs, the things that you're taking to cover up, mask, waiting for that inevitable day that you're going to have hip surgery? Well, here's an opportunity. Go to rosellcare.com or simply call 703-698-7117 and register for the program. We'd love to have you there and to save you from some unnecessary long-term permanent problems. Dr. Browning, welcome back again. Let's get into it a little bit more. We talked about the structural patterns. We talked about pelvic misalignment. We talked about, you know, that this can be an inflammatory component. I want to get into both those very heavily in the second part of the program, but let's talk a little bit about that inflammatory pathway. Some injuries seem to be non-events, and you can hit a joint, you can, you know, cause a problem with the knee. But I guess what I want to ask is, how do little injuries, little things, patient says, I haven't done anything, but now you're getting degeneration. You're getting bone on bone. You take a look at the lower back. You have disc spaces that have narrowed down. Why?
Well, I mean, it's probably a confluence of different factors. All those little traumas can add up if we don't have a good restorative body, meaning that the body doesn't heal itself back to the way it should have been. Very often what we find is when we have an injury, even a small one, the body starts to lay down scar tissue because it's easy to do and it's quick to do. Now, at a certain point, we want to see the body convert that scar tissue into viable, healthy tissue. And very often it doesn't do that and it becomes encapsulated, and we call that an adhesion. So those adhesions prevent normal motion in the joint, certainly normal motion in muscles and tendons as well. So they start to kind of spread. And we all have felt those little trigger points or knots in our neck. Well, we get them in all different areas of our body, and over time it just propagates the issue.
When you have this trigger point, you have the scar tissue, you have this encapsulated irritation that's within the soft tissue, restricting motion, making it painful. That's why they're called trigger points, because they refer into other areas. Why does it happen more specifically in some people, and others don't seem to have as much of an issue? Does that have to do with the chemistry, or is that the mechanics?
You know, it's probably safe to say a little bit of both. So I think that people who are more active and exercise and stretch usually don't present with these problems as much, unless they're in some sort of athletic endeavor that involves a lot of collision type stuff, or is, you know, putting tons of stress on their joints. So a sedentary lifestyle has a tendency to be more detrimental to the way our joints function, certainly over time, than I think a person who is active and moves and, you know, does all the right things as far as keeping their body going.
Is someone who has a relatively active lifestyle, I'm going to reverse the pattern on you a little bit, and they do certain things, they're active on a day-to-day basis, but their dietary patterns are less than adequate, they suck. You know, the sugars, the sodas, the coffee, the black teas, the fast food, fried foods, alcohol, the gluten, the additives, the preservatives, the GMO products. Does that person have a more or less propensity to be able to produce these inflammatory cascades that cause the scar tissue, the encapsulation, and so forth?
They definitely have a higher likelihood of having inflammation. And certainly if you don't put the raw materials in the body, then, you know, when we do need to heal, we don't heal as with the quality tissue. You know, the classic thing that I see is too much carbohydrate consumption and not enough protein consumption. So we need protein, because that's the building blocks of our muscles, our bones, our ligaments, and our tendons. So if we don't get that in, we're going to run into problems. And also, you know, the fat consumption, if we get too much saturated fats, or we get too much of the omega-6s, that's the different vegetable oils, corn oil, canola and such, that has a tendency to shift us to an inflammatory state as opposed to us getting the omega-3s, the cold water fish, and those things in our diet.
So basically, you know, if the repair process isn't fueled properly, or if it has the wrong stuff, the system's going to break down. We go into that inflammatory reaction, and we have degeneration caused by what we lovingly called acid eroding the joint spaces, breaking down that collagen fiber, breaking down and substituting. I want to get into a little substitution about aspirin and what happens with sulfate within the joint space when we come back after the break. My guest in studio, Dr. Harlan Browning. We're talking about hip degeneration and pelvic pain and inability to function normally. We're coming up to the halfway point. We'll be right back after some very important messages.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live in studio, waiting to take Dr. Browning's personal opinions on a very specific subject, and what we're talking about is hip degeneration and pelvic pain. That'll be the subject of our presentation at the Rozell Center for Healing this Wednesday evening, the 7th of November already. It's coming up to Thanksgiving. Hopefully all of you have got your plans in place, and we will be doing what we need to be doing, right? Enjoying our families and our friends and giving thanks for the beautiful life that we do have. But some of you are in pain. Some of you have significant problems in motion and mobility. You have degeneration. And it goes on over a period of many years before you get to the place of actually doing something about it. And then when you get to the place of doing something about it, your doctor says, well, you know, it's not much longer. We'll do what we can, but we're looking at a joint replacement, either in what we say total or we do partial, but that's where we're headed. Dr. Browning, welcome again. Let's talk about that process that we left off, and I want to move into that partial total piece in a little while. The inflammatory cascade, that acid that builds up that causes some minor injuries to become destructive, but also I mentioned that joint spaces are repaired with something called a sulfate ion, and it stimulates cartilaginous growth and so forth. But unfortunately, in an effort to control the pain, traditional medicine, whether using just taking aspirin or they're injecting steroids or they're using things like Celebrex, it has a problem because it causes the sulfate ion not to be able to be available to be stored. It actually competes in the receptor of the joint space, subsequently perpetuating rapidly the degeneration. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so when we take an aspirin or an Advil or a Tylenol, they work to block this cascade of chemical messengers to tell us to have inflammation, and the inflammation is what causes the pain. So what we're doing is we're modulating the pain by preventing this progression of these messengers. The issue is that the over-the-counter, as you said, blocks the utilization of sulfate ions. And the sulfate is what's part of what we refer to as the basement membrane. That's kind of like the sand of the cement. You have to have sand for cement. So if we don't have that ion, then we don't build good cartilage. So albeit we take the Advil and you know what, my knee feels better, but it causes the knee to further disintegrate over time.
So and is that true just for aspirin and Celebrex, or is that any of the NSAIDs?
Most of the NSAIDs will do that, and steroids will as well for sure. And then we can go into a whole nother litany of things on, you know, what the steroids do is as far as injectables. You know, when people say they got an injection in their knee, well, there's a reason that they don't do more than two injections in one site, because the collateral damage is too much.
What is that? What is the collateral damage? What is it that people really need to know about? Because, you know, unfortunately, we're in a society that perpetuates, and it's pushed by Big Pharma and the advertising they do, and said, you know, call your doc and see if this drug is right for you. And everybody ignores the underlying stuff. But particularly with steroidal components and compounded by taking NSAIDs, the end production, the end product, the end result can be horrible.
Yeah, so injectables are just like the over-the-counters. They're what we call proteolytic. They break down proteins. So inflammation is a type of protein, believe it or not. So as we inject it in the site, yes, it's without a doubt it's going to have a profound effect on that inflammation. But because it breaks down protein, now there's this collateral damage. So now we're damaging all the other healthy proteins, the cartilage there, the other connective tissue, the bone surfaces. All you need to do is watch like the NFL Hall of Fame ceremony when they trot out the guys who are in their 60s. So we're not talking that old, but in their 60s, and these guys are all with walkers and wheelchairs because the common thought was, well, we can just inject that steroid into their knee over and over again to get them in the game, but it just ate their joint away over time. So that's why, you know, now we typically don't see more than two injections in one site.
I'm going to ask you a question that our patients ask all the time, and it's putting you a little bit on the spot. Why didn't my doctor tell me this?
You know, it might be the fact that they don't have a greater depth of knowledge as far as the rehabilitative side. We're not here to disparage what the medical community does. We're just here to tell people that there's other options and to expose them to the way that their body actually works. If you understand the way something works, it's not that hard to reverse engineer it, right? If you know about a recipe, and you know about the ingredients that go in the recipe, over time you probably could come up with a pretty close approximation of how much of each ingredient needs to go into it to make whatever you're making. So the same thing goes with the body. If you understand the way it works and you understand what conventionally we try to do in medicine, you can kind of tease out what's good about that and what's not good about that. And you're seeing that trend now. We talk about stem cell,
yes,
and PRP. So the ortho guys are getting it because the patients are coming in and saying, you know, I don't want the hip replacement. What else can you do for me? Well, if they can't do anything else except the hip replacement, they're going to go somewhere else. And they're going to go to another doctor who's doing more complementary type medicine. So it's kind of they're bridging the gap between what we do in chiropractic and functional medicine to what they also do in conventional hard orthopedics or neurosurgery. So there's a room in the middle that I think people are migrating to.
You know, the interesting thing is, and you brought it up with stem cell, within about 6 weeks, the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax and then Core Concepts Chiropractic a little bit later by Rozelle in Ashburn, we're going to be bringing in PRP and stem cell therapies and combine it with structural balance and the like, and hopefully the people that have already gotten to the place where they have degenerative disease are going to be able to have another tool, another implementation. But, you know, getting back to, you know, the steroidal piece, you know, we've treated, you know, thousands of patients over a period of many years, and we see this day in and day out. And unfortunately, population, and not by necessarily the allopaths, but the big pharma are being hoodwinked. And, you know, they're being told a story to get rid of pain. But what they don't insist upon is really the understanding by the patient, the recipient of the procedure, that this can cause a further advanced, more destructive, degenerative process where they're leading to something more that they would really like to avoid in the first place. And that's the replacement of that joint, that new bionic piece. So here's the situation. You know, we have a patient that walks in. And again, I started out with, why didn't my doctor tell me that? And you were very eloquent in what you said relative to, because sometimes they don't know what they don't know. But you would think that all of us together, you know, we treat a lot of NFL players, we treat a lot of NBA players, we've treated, the homespun athletes like you and I. And there are problems that show up, but the replacement of joint spaces in the greatest majority of cases is not necessary if you catch it early enough and you do the things that you need
to do. Yeah, and the key is catching it early. I mean, unfortunately, a handful of times a year I have a patient who comes in and they are bone on bone. And I tell them, I was like, I can probably make you more comfortable, but you're in a situation where your quality of life is so poor that you actually are a very good candidate for the hip or the knee replacement. So the thought process is to make patients be more engaged in their own healthcare And I see this. I've been practicing for, you know, 20 years. I see it less and less. So people wait and wait and wait. And then they show up at the office and they think that there's a magic bullet that within two visits, it's going to fix it. And in many cases that doesn't happen, unfortunately. Now, we're not saying that you can't help those people, but I guess the take home is you need to investigate it early on to see where you are.
You know, it's important that we understand that life is a process. And we look at it from a structural point of view, a chemical point of view, and also the stress patterns of our societies, because the body physiologically does not know the difference between an actual experience and something that you visualize or think about. The body reacts in direction of what your foremost thought is, period, end of story. That's just the way it works. And when you combine these things and you're constantly being fed a story about, you know, you need to have, you know, take two aspirin, call me in the morning type of thing. But yeah, it blunts the pain, as you said earlier, and it eliminates some of the symptomological process at the time. But underneath all of that, it begins to degenerate. Let's talk about dietary patterns and the presentation of these types of inflammatory diseases of the hip and the pelvis, the degeneration that occurs and so forth. And a patient comes in, you know, I've been really trying. I've been doing this. I've gone to this. I've had this done. But they're still degenerating. What does that lifestyle have to do with that mechanical presentation?
Well, it's, you know, the fuel in equals energy out. So if we don't have the raw materials, like I said before, we're in trouble. Now, we can take it one step further. And if we eat a lot of processed foods, okay, we eat foods, we eat packages that where we can't spell half of the things that are on it. And there's got numbers and colors, red this, 64, you know. That's a warning sign for me, because the body is not designed to break down chemicals, you know, certainly in those levels. And then we have all the grains. You know, the grains will shift us more to an acidic side, and acidity in the body is not a good thing. We certainly want a back and forth between being alkaline and acidic, but if we drive the pathway more to the acidic side or even the alkaline side, it becomes a bigger problem. And then we also have all these adulterated grains that we are trying to digest that will institute different types of autoimmune, subclinical autoimmune type reactions in our body, which means our body is going to start fighting itself. So now you can flip a coin. Is that a stomach ache for one person? Is it a joint ache for another? Is it brain fog for the other? Or is it a combination of all those? So, you know, diet can become a very powerful, you know, adjunct to what you do with a person structurally.
So the weakest link is really where the presentation is going to be.
Absolutely. And, you know, we were talking on the way up and I was saying, you know, I cut out gluten. I don't really eat much to begin with at all, but I got to say, I feel better. And if you ask me how I explain that, I'm sleeping a little bit better. I'm clearer in thought. You know, so there's something to be said for everyone really looking at what they're eating a little bit closer, despite the fact that they feel pretty darn good.
You know, my patients will ask me, so, you know, well, don't you ever have a little something? And if the indiscretions that I make would be passed on to everybody else, the confectionery companies and so forth would go out of business. But, you know, one thing that I learned, and a lot of people don't understand, and I'm throwing this out because of it's causing and perpetuating degenerative disease. Patient that has a predisposition to gout, high uric acid due to purine metabolism, you know, not working the way it's supposed to. If they have a piece of chocolate, even good dark chocolate, 72 to 78% organic chocolate, that chocolate can perpetuate a gout attack.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes, believe it or not, I like when my patients cheat, because when they do what they need to do for, let's say, 3 weeks and they're feeling pretty good and they just have that little bit of whatever, bread or what, then they have this huge rebound from it where they're just feeling awful. So sometimes that's a good reinforcement, because they're like, wow, man, I didn't realize I was just doing this over and over and over again.
So then the question that they're going to put up to you that comes next is, well, I used to eat that before and I never did this to me, you know, in the past. Why is it doing it to me now?
Well, you know, things change over time. Just like as we get older, we can't eat as much calories and still stay at the same weight. I mean, just the body has a threshold for the same difference that we go to start our car today, it starts, and tomorrow I go to start it, and it doesn't. Well, what happened there? Well, some threshold got passed where the car didn't want to start. Same with our body.
Well, you know, I like to, sometimes I use the reference of the great Muhammad Ali, you know, and his rope-a-dope. You know, he used to get the guys up against the rope, and he used to beat their bodies. And I think he learned that from Rocky Marciano, and his arms would drop, and then he would crane them. Well, the same thing with eating certain things and perpetuating lifestyles that aren't normal. You can stand it to the begin with, and you can handle it, you can handle it. But if you continue to perpetuate it, pretty soon your body can't stand it anymore, and you drop. Now, in reversing that, when they start getting better and they start turning things around, then their body becomes more susceptible, if you will. The inflammatory cascade, that irritation, that acid is more noticeable because they're not as beat up anymore. And so they have that screaming reaction that they wouldn't have otherwise. My guest in studio, Dr. Harlan Browning, who will be your host, your presenter this Wednesday evening at the Results Center for Healing at 7 p.m. We're going to talk about this stuff. We're going to be talking about hip and pelvic pain and degeneration, virtually anywhere in the body. We're going to kind of focus on that area. If you're having problems walking, if you're having problems moving, if your doc has told you, what do you expect? You know, this is going to happen. We're just, you know, we'll wait a little longer. We'll keep you under care, but you're taking steroids. You're taking, you know, you're on NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. What's that? That's Advil and that's aspirin and, you know, all the cousins of alike. It's causing you joint space degeneration. If your diet's not cool and you know it, you're just causing yourself more and more problems. Do you want to get taken apart piece by piece? Do you want to get degenerative changes throughout your body? Do you look at your hands? Do you look at the distal portions of your fingers? Are you starting to develop knots? Those are indicators of inflammation and irritation within your body. You got to stop it, because it's not just going to be your hip pretty soon. It's going to be the other hip. Then it's going to be the shoulder. Then it's going to be the knee. You've got to be able to make a difference. Otherwise, you're going to be in trouble, and life is not going to be worth living. Join us this Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing. Go online at rozellecare.com. Call 703-698-7117. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You've been listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live, as you do every week, sometimes on Sundays at 12 noon when the Redskins are not in town and we're not in season, and Saturdays at 4 o'clock when they are, just like today. That's why you're listening to us on Saturday afternoon. You know, we have listeners from all over the world, and we are very grateful and supported by their questions and their applause for the things that we're doing. We're here to serve you. Just as we present our in-house continuing education programs, which this Wednesday evening, the 7th of November, Dr. Harlan Browning, my guest, who will be your host this Wednesday, will give you some of the most intimate insights in a problem that many of you think that the only resolution is going to be drugs and ultimate surgery and joint replacement. We're talking about hip degeneration, hip pain, leg pain, pelvic degeneration, pelvic pain, going up into the low back. This is not something that's isolated to one area. Dr. Browning, you know, we've spent the program talking about a very important problem, one that's very expensive because, you know, it's debilitating not only to the patient. They lose time from work. They lose input to their families. This Wednesday evening, you're going to shed a light on this. What are you going to go through? What are you going to talk about? Why should people come?
Well, I mean, certainly there's going to be a large amount of people that come just because they suffer for these problems. But we, just as many people from our practice that don't have these problems, come just to learn as well. So we're going to talk about a lot of the anatomy, the why behind it. If you understand the way the body works, you can understand why you're suffering from what you're suffering. And then certainly we're going to talk about ways that we can reverse the process. And more importantly, how can you stabilize it? It's one thing to kind of make yourself feel better, but if you don't come up with a long-term strategy to keep it there, then you're doing yourself a disservice. And we're going to touch on some concepts that people very often don't think about. And just like we've been talking about today, it's going to be how nutrition impacts it. And so if your diet's not clean and you're not moving and you're not doing the things that you need to do, you're not going to get the outcome you're looking for.
You know, it's important to understand that most conditions, other than a major car accident, something that happens traumatically out of your control, But when we're talking about functional considerations, lifestyle, the things that, you know, that happen on a day-to-day where we've gone through our life, you know, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years later, and we have these little nits, if you will, and we begin to see the body not be as functional as it should. It wasn't designed to be in an abnormal place. The body was not designed to be one that was impaired and restricted. And we're talking about significant restriction and joint degeneration.
Yeah, so once we go from the place where we don't exercise because it hurts to where we don't even do activities of daily living, we don't walk up and down the stairs, that's the danger zone. So there's one thing not being able to run 4 miles because our knee hurts, but when you can't do the things that you need to do to maintain your house, you better start looking closely at it because it can be a slippery slope downhill real quick.
You know, it's an unfortunate situation that we get to a place where we buy into the what do you expect for your age? Life is supposed to be fluid. It's supposed to be continuum. And if we look through the timeline and we look at the structural, chemical, emotional nits, if you will, the stress and strains of our time, we realize that we do have control, particularly that we had control in making the symptoms appear. But we can reverse that. My belief system's always been, as long as you're breathing, you can reverse something and you can turn things around. You know, as always, my dear friend, I appreciate your intellect, your capacity, your insight, your ability to, you know, go through something in a very simple, straightforward way and educate our patients. And that's why we call you lovingly the professor, because you do that so very, very well. But this Wednesday evening, Dr. Harlan Browning will be your presenter the 7th of November. Please join us. All you have to do is call RoselleCare.com or 703-698-7117. Join us. Love to have you as our guest and see our facility. Love you all.